you guys doing all right this morning? Awesome. Awesome. You know, I tell you something. If God sent us back to do our lives over again, you know, if reincarnation was legit, I'd want to come back as Samsung. I just think he's the coolest dude, man. I'm serious. That guy, he's the coolest dude, man. I mean, all around, all around. Hey, you know what? This weekend is just hard to describe. If we could have took, you know, y'all heard of Oprah Winfrey, right? Oprah. See, y'all, you guys got to forgive me. This jet lag, man, I've been calling you guys Tokyo and it's Hong Kong, man. And, man, my mind is gone. I can't even pronounce Oprah Winfrey, right? You guys seen Oprah Winfrey, right? Before she got more sophisticated, her most common theme for her show was a makeover, right? They would bring folks, and in my estimation, they made them look bad on purpose on the front end, right? Big old shaggy dude, loose clothes, unshaven. They put fake zits on them, you know what I mean? Just, you know, and then they would take them in the back room, and it would be glam girl. You know, they cut her hair and do her clothes and put right glasses or whatever, and she'd come out. And I'd see these shows, and I'd see the before and after. They would do the side-by-side, and I'd go, no, that ain't even the same person, you know? And I think if we could have took a spiritual photograph of us on the getting off the ferry and a spiritual photograph of us getting back on the ferry today, I think people would go, no, that ain't even the same group, you know, because God has graciously showed up and touched us in such profound ways. That is, that's not normal for one retreat, at least United States, not normal. For God to do that much, and Pastor Sam was accurate, the first night, that was like a last night thing. I mean, for the glory of the Lord, the presence of God to show up like that, I simply say this. Number one, we need to give God the glory. We need to be like, what was it? Was it 10 lepers that were healed and one stopped and came back and gave God the glory? In a moment, I want you to stand up and let's give in a moment. I love you. You're so cute. We need to, in a moment, we're going to stand up and give Jesus Christ the greatest standing ovation ever in just a moment. But I think it's so important for us to realize that that is also an endorsement upon your movement and upon your hearts and upon, you know, for you guys to give half of your income away to missions. I just lean over to Barb and I go, that's absolutely unheard of. And I'm going to go back at whatever point we go back to the States. I'm going to tell them over there. I said, I've seen the bride. She looks beautiful. You guys look really good, man. I mean, what God's doing in your midst. And you thank God. And I'm telling you what, I'll talk to you about this a little bit later. But you should be grabbing as many folks as you could to bring them to Solomon's Porch. I mean, there's no reason why you guys shouldn't double in 6 months. I mean, literally. I mean, even the transitory nature of a lot of people shifting in jobs. And I say that to say because what you have is so raw Jesus that people are going to come in your midst and they're going to go, this is what I'm searching for. I'm going to say a couple things, and my wife and I, we're going to tag team, so she's going to jump up first. But I just want to say this. How many of you were baptized in the Holy Ghost last night? You had received, just lift your hand. Stand up. Go ahead. Just stand up. You were baptized in the Holy Ghost last night. Just stand up. Come on. Yes. Come on. Come on. You may be seated. I just want to say, you know, Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled or they shall be satisfied. If some of you receive prayer and you didn't get that ultimate breakthrough, you know, number one, you keep pressing in to God. And in fact, those of you that stood, you got to keep pressing into God. So I'm being Dr. Sean now instead of Dr. Phil. Dr. Sean's prescription to you is whether you received your language or not last night, the prescription is the same. You got to press into God. But don't be discouraged. I think I shared with you, I pressed into God for 9 months. I had so many people lay hands on me. But the night I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I woke up the next day. I knocked right across the street. I was a student at the University of Pacific. There were 90 university townhouses. I went and knocked on every single door to tell them I was starting a Bible study. And I was under a year old in the Lord, but when God baptized me in the Holy Ghost, it was so phenomenal. I wanted everyone to know about Jesus. And many of them closed the door in my face, threw my little homemade flyer. You know, I mean, this is back in the 80s. So, I mean, you could get on your little laptop and make a nice flyer. My thing looked like chicken scratch. I mean, it was boo-boo. That's what we say in California. It was boo-boo, man. But I was handing this out. I brought a guy that I led to the Lord. We had so many doors shut on us. The guy that I led to the Lord that was with me and inviting people, he got discouraged and went back home, man. And I knocked on all 90 doors and told them that I was going to have a Bible study. That first Bible study, it was like five of us. That's counting me and the cat that was in the house, man. So there was me and three other guys and a feline, right? One guy was my roommate. I drug him there. The two other guys were basketball players. We prayed for them. They gave their life to the Lord. My first Bible study, I gave my testimony because I didn't have a lot that I knew about the Bible yet. I just knew I was blind. Now I see. Anyway, make a long story short, we only limited to guys because guys just needed a place to open up. And gals, every now and then they would come and I wouldn't go kick them out or nothing like that. But it grew to be an entire ministry called Athletes for Christ that we did on our campus that had guys and gals athletes. But it began like that. And my campus pastor said, "You getting all these athletes out, man, you need to start a ministry." And so that's how ministry began. And so I just say that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, expect to be used in evangelism. And I do want to say this. I believe this. I believe some of you who were prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to go on record as saying it. I believe you did receive. And in the process of some days, that language is going to be released as you're just before the Lord worshiping. All of a sudden, you're going to be, because that's what happened to me. I was by myself, and I had been receiving prayer, and I just was worshiping God, telling him I love him. And all of a sudden, this language jumped out of me, and it just like, oh, my, what is that? And this is a stupid thought. My first thought is my mama calls me. She won't be able to understand, because I thought I couldn't speak in English anymore. I thought I was just going to be speaking in tongues. People thought I was crazy, but no. Hey, I am so blessed to be able to introduce. I don't get a chance to do this often, to introduce my wife. And she is a woman of God. I can truly tell. I live with her. She has such a heart for the things of God. She has been so sacrificial. I've been convicted at her sacrifice in terms of for our family and for God and different people. And she has got a word of the Lord. And what I love about my wife, Barb, is that some people, you know, probably myself included, we spend all this time exegeting passages and breaking everything down. And my wife does do that. But really, she just gets alone with God and God speaks to her. And she stands up and speaks what God speaks to her. And I love that because when God speaks, God is who is released. And so I think really we need to hear from God sometimes even more than we need to hear from a person's study. Nothing wrong in study. Study, show yourself approved. But I just love the fact that I know my wife hears from God. And I love my wife, 17 years of marriage. She's still my babe, my sweetheart. I stood up on our wedding and I just broke the sophistication of the moment. I just screamed, "My baby's fine." So I just want to introduce you again to my wife, Barbara. And wait, come on. Go ahead. Give her a hand clap as she comes forward. Now, let's stand up and give Jesus Christ that ovation. We're that one leper coming back. Hallelujah!
Yes, God. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, you may be seated. This morning, I want to share kind of a, I guess what I would call kind of a hodgepodge, or is there anything named like goulash? It's like a food where you just mix all kinds of things. Is that here in Hong Kong? In the States, we have something that's called goulash, and it's kind of just a mixture of all kinds of different foods or leftovers you make a stew or something out of, you know, but anyway, it's called goulash. But I feel like this morning, you know, I was just praying, Lord, what is it that you want me to specifically share? It's not necessarily a message, but just some thoughts that the Lord gave me specifically for you. And so I just have several pages here written down that I want to just share with you. So if I'm looking at my notes, I am looking at my notes because it's something God just shared this morning. So it's not necessarily something I've shared before. So anyway, if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 12, verse 1 here. Hebrews 12, verse 1. And I guess kind of the theme of, you know, if there is a theme this morning that I'm sharing, is kind of contending for your destiny. And I know Sean has touched a little bit, you know, bits and pieces here on you know, your divine mandate in those different areas. But this morning I want to talk about contending for your destiny. Some thoughts on that. So Hebrews 12:1, I'm going to read it here. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and this is the part I want to emphasize here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You see, we are exhorted here to literally lay aside those things that impede or slow us down from really walking in our destiny and what God's called us to do. And Hebrews 12:3, I want to read this part here, the very beginning of it. It says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And so that word, consider him, he is saying it is going to be tough, but not to lose heart. And I know many of us leaving this weekend, there's going to be literally some changes that are going to have to take place in our lives. Once we've experienced so much in God, we can't go back to the normal things that we used to do. Amen? We can't do that anymore. And so the ultimate success is placing all that you are into God's hands to do with as he pleases, and then working with him to fulfill his will for you. And then here I want to say, each one of you has a specific place in God's master plan, a place that only you can fulfill, a place that you will occupy to fulfill your destiny he ordained for you. And I love this, that how many of you know that God will not allow you to be successful at being someone else? He will not allow you to be successful at being someone else. And I think so many times, you know, whether it be in the business world, as we're in school, you know, for women, I speak to a lot of women a lot of times, and I'm telling you, it's such a battle constantly comparing ourselves with others that it really hinders so many times us really walking and taking a risk or taking a step into what God's called us, because we're constantly, well, man, so-and-so, you know, man, Sean could preach so awesome. I can never do that. Well, no, God's not called you to be Sean. He's called you to be you. And so that whole thing of God will not allow you to be successful at being someone else. For some of us, change will need to take place, like I mentioned earlier. Change because we are so used to doing things sometimes in a certain way, you know. And sometimes even you guys are at such a great place. Many of you are so much more younger and, you know, you're not so much set in your ways. Maybe in the States, sometimes as you get older, you kind of get set in your ways and, you know, you just don't like change. You're just used to things being a certain way. And I think even this weekend, God's even showed many of us that it's not always going to be how we, you know, sometimes expect it to be. God's going to show up in different ways. He's going to show up in different ways. I want to share a dream with you that I had probably, I don't know, a year or two ago. And I don't normally, you know, typically share something that, you know, I mean, God just brought it up this morning. He says, I want you to share that dream with him. So I had a dream of a guy, a man. Actually, it's kind of interesting. This morning, God reminded me it was an Asian man. I don't know if that has anything to do. Anyway, he was standing on this kind of like a flat raft. And, you know, they have a stick. And so you're in a pond. You're kind of moving along in this raft. But I was walking along this pond where this man was standing on this raft. And he had a stick and stuff. But the interesting thing is it was a little kind of pond. It wasn't necessarily like a lake or a river that was moving or anything. It was a very stagnant little pond. So for him to really need a stick to, you know, get along. But it's almost like he was standing on this raft and he really just didn't want... He didn't want the thing to move. He was just kind of standing there like, you know, I don't want this thing to tip over. I'm just, you know, he was very cautious. He was very cautious. And he was just kind of standing on this raft. So anyway, I'm walking around this pond watching him. Of course, he doesn't see me. I'm walking around this pond and I'm going to actually meet somebody else to go bungee jumping. So quite the contrast there. And so I'm walking around this pond and I'm watching this man thinking, man, this guy is just crazy. What is he doing? You know, he just didn't want it to tip over. But it wasn't like, you know, the water's moving or anything. It was just stagnant water. But he was just so cautious and careful. He didn't want to tip this thing over at all. And so I'm walking around this raft, or I'm not the raft, the pond, and going around trying to meet somebody. And they're setting up all these, you know, bungee cords and they're laying everything out. And I've never been bungee jumping before. I'm not sure I don't know. Maybe if God said, okay, you know, the fact that this little, you know, wire could actually hold you jumping off, I don't know. Has anybody been bungee jumping? How many of you have been bungee? Wow, that's. And so, anyway, I'm preparing to meet this person to go bungee jumping. And to me, that's faith alone to go bungee jumping, especially for me, you know, to take that risk and do that. And so anyway, I'm meeting this person, but, you know, I'm continuing to kind of look back at this man who's on this raft, and I'm thinking, man, this is just kind of strange. So anyway, the dream kind of finishes, and I'm getting ready and being prepared to go bungee jumping, which was a huge risk for me. That's not something typically in the natural that I would do. And so, you know, in this dream, again, I'm sharing this because this man was so cautious and careful. And as I immediately woke up from this dream, the Lord spoke to me just immediately. I mean, sometimes when God gives me dreams, I'll wake up immediately or, you know, later on that morning. But sometimes he doesn't always give me the interpretation right away. And I woke up in the middle of the night from this dream. And the first phrase, I mean, God just spoke to me. He said, take a risk. And I was like, oh, Lord, you know, take a risk. You know, what does that mean? And anyway, it turned out to be in a message and stuff. But I felt like this morning God was saying for you, and Sean kind of touched on it a little bit, but to take a risk. Sometimes we're so cautious and careful, and I'm not even talking about things in the natural, but I'm talking about this morning, things in the spiritual, you know, taking a risk when God calls you to, you know, Sean talked about this weekend, stepping out and witnessing to somebody, or, you know, it might even be starting a Bible study, starting a cell, whatever, you know, whatever may be out of the ordinary thing that you would normally do. God's saying this morning and this weekend for you is to take a risk, take a risk. This man's goal was to maintain what he had, on that little raft. And literally that raft became a prison for him. You know, he didn't realize all that was going on out there. He was so concerned about his little raft and not tipping it over that he was literally in his own prison. And he was comfortable and it was familiar for him. And he didn't want to change. He didn't want to change. And I don't believe that's you today, because obviously we've seen a lot of change this weekend. In each of us. And so, anyway, I share that to say God is telling you this morning to take a risk. And you say, well, what if I step out and, you know, take a risk and, you know, I fail or, you know, I miss it and stuff. You know what? God values and honors your heart. You know, he values and honors your heart. It doesn't matter if you, you know, step out and do something and it's just not, you know, God will bring you back. As even Sean mentioned in one of the messages, you know, sometimes we can get off track, but God will bring you right back. I think I shared with one of the girls, I would rather miss trying than sit back and play it safe all my life. You know, I was one of those play it safe all the time. I mean, you know, Sean could tell you just my testimony. I didn't, you kidding? I didn't try anything new. I wouldn't step out in what, you know, really in what God was calling me to do. But so for many years, you know, and so now I've come to understand that, man, I'd rather step out and fail than play it safe all my life and never know what I could have been, And I love this phrase, and actually I think Sean gave this to me. It says, unless you keep taking ground, you could write this down, you lose the ground you have taken. Unless you keep taking ground, you will lose the ground you have taken. You see, his desire is to take you places that you've never been before. To take you places you've never been before, and I believe that's your heart. You desire that. Turn to Philippians 3:13-14 here. I want to read that for you. I know many of you probably know this. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I love the Living Bible says this, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. You know, many of us are going to go back, you know, to our jobs, to our, you know, schools and whatever the case may be. And sometimes there's things that we're going to have to let go of, you know, because of what God's done in our life, the changes and stuff that are going to take place. You see, contending for your destiny requires change. Contending for those things of God require change in us. And it will also be a process. And this is the thing I want to touch on a little bit, that if you're taking notes, write this down. Don't be impatient with your process, for it will position you for your promise. I'll repeat that. Don't be impatient with your process, for it will position you for your promise. In Esther, verse 2 and 8, I'm not going to necessarily read it, but before Esther became Hadassah, before Hadassah became Esther, actually, you see, she willingly submitted herself to the king's appointed servant, Haggai, to be prepared as his queen, so you must surrender to the process as well, that we must surrender to that process. If Hadassah had not fully surrendered to the process of preparation and waited until the appointed time, she would not have received the favor nor the full authority that would be required as the queen for such a time as this. And so I feel that that's the same thing for us. This walking into what God's called us to walk in, for each one of us, it doesn't matter how old we are, there's a process that takes place. And sometimes we can be so impatient. I know in the States, everything is just fast. You know, if you can't get something in, you know, all the fast food and everything is just so quick, you know. But sometimes we don't understand that in the process, God's still doing things in the process. And write this down. Your submission to the process will determine your progress toward your promise. Let me repeat that. Your submission to the process will determine your progress toward your promise. So many times, you know, I think actually Pastor Sam mentioned it, which he mentioned a great point yesterday when we were talking about at the Q&A. He said so many times we can see, you know, down the road and we think, man, how can we get there? You know, but there's a process in getting there. And sometimes we can get so impatient that, you know, we're taking all these detours. We want it to happen so much more faster, you know, but God takes us through a process, and we need to get to that process, through that process, I should say. And so it's so important not to so much say, man, you know, this is where I want to be in 10 years, and that's great. We do need to do that, and we need to set goals. I do that myself. We do that as a family. Our children set goals. But, you know, there's a process in between that is what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense? There's a process in between. And so don't be discouraged that, man, you know, I was sharing with one of the gals, it's kind of like if, you know, where we want to be in 10 years, if God just literally, if it happened overnight, are you kidding? Sometimes I don't think most of us will be able to handle it, really, because we're not prepared fully for that. There's a process in between. And so I'm saying all that to say, don't be impatient with your process. Don't be impatient with your process. And the end, I want to share this too, that you must understand the definition of process means this. A process is a series of changes or actions directed toward a specific goal. Toward a specific goal. A process is a series of changes or actions directed toward a specific goal. You see, a process is not necessarily, it's not a single event. It's a process. It's not going to just, like I said, happen overnight. You know, it's a series of changes. Things are going to change in the midst of it, you know. It's also kind of, in a sense, seasons. We go through different seasons in our life, you know. It's a process, not a single event. And so really this morning, I just want to, you know, say those are things that we need to really contend, you know, contending for our destiny and promise that it's going to require change. It's a process, not to be impatient, you know. I love this scripture, 1 Timothy 1:18. You don't necessarily have to go there. Let's see. Let me find it here. And it talks about, you know, I had never really seen this verse like this, but it says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. And somebody had, I don't know, shared a message on this, but I never really seen that as, you know, kind of even prophetic words and different things over our lives. And so many times we hear those prophetic words, they're encouraging, they're sometimes confirming to us, you know. And a lot of times we look at those and, you know, like Sean was saying, I had so many prophetic words before I was in a state of really even receiving them that, you know, I'd be speaking one day to women. I'd be, you know, I mean, more than a dozen of words. And for many years, I just kind of denied it because I just didn't want to hear. And I'm thinking, there's no way. They're completely off. That's not me. I'm never going to do that. You know, that just kind of in that whole denial stage. But it's amazing now. I look back at all these prophetic words I have and I actually keep them kind of organized. I have them all typed out, transcribed and everything. And I go back to them actually probably about once or twice a month and say, God, am I on track? Or, you know, am I going in the right direction? And not that all the prophetic words are, you know, you got to, of course, pray over them and all that kind of stuff. But, and it's amazing. And actually, I just had a prophetic word. Babe, I don't even know if I shared this with you. But as I was going over them, a gal who mentors me, one of my mentors in Tulsa, we were going through all my words in sequence. And the last word that I hadn't shared with her, but I found it at home just about 2 days ago, or before I came here, I found it. And one prophetic lady said that all my words would come to pass before I hit the age 40. well, that's next year that I'll be 40. And literally, I went through all those prophetic words, and every single one of them have come to pass, which is amazing already, even before I hit 40. And so what I'm saying is that, you know what, we need to fight for those words. These last 3 years have been a huge fight in my life. I mean, a good one, but, you know, contending and fighting for things, you know. And I think for us, even prophetic words, you know, keep those. I don't know why I'm sharing all this, but anyway, I guess I'm supposed to. But regarding your prophetic words, just really, you know, keep those in track. Really, you know, begin to fight and contend for them. Pray over them, you know. See if, you know, I mean, sometimes it just so helps you, you know, when you're, sometimes, especially when you're so discouraged or things aren't going so well. Sometimes if you look back at all the promises of God, you know, his word and stuff, it so encourages you to keep pressing on, to keep pressing on. Does that make sense? So anyway, those are just kind of, I'm done, and those are just kind of some thoughts that the Lord gave me for you this morning. So, you ready?
Awesome. Go ahead and cue up the track there. No, I'm teasing. I always wanted to do that. Like, if I could sing, I always wanted to just cue up the track, brother. Don't look at me, just look at the Lord. You know, everybody always says that, right, when they're going to sing, don't look at me, just look to the Lord. I understand what they're saying, but I feel like if you were really serious about that, you wouldn't have done your hair up. You wouldn't wear your nice dress or your nice suit. You know, sometimes, never mind. False humility sometimes. Hey, whenever God shows you something, you are obligated to flow in that, even if it's an elementary way, before maturity comes. So often we don't want to do anything, and we don't want to do anything, especially when people are watching us, when we're in that awkward stage. People would rather practice on their golf game when no one's around. People would rather practice on the piano, which is probably a good idea before you try to cue up a track, practice your singing voice. You don't want to jump on American Idol and that's the first time you sung, you know. But I want to challenge you that this is so important that whenever God shows you something, you have to flow in that, even if it's at an elementary stage. You have to be willing to go through a stage of fledgling to get to a place of fluency. And if you're not willing to do that, what happens is that you don't ever develop something God gives you. My greatest fear, and I don't acknowledge fears, right? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. I grew up with a lot of fears. I mean, I was afraid of the boogeyman. I was afraid of the tooth fairy, man. I thought she might snag some of my other teeth while she's grabbing the one under the pillow. I watched all these horror movies in the Bay Area, you know, Creature Feature with Bob Wilkins. And so I'm like the boogeyman, tooth fairy, they all out to get me, right? So anyway, I don't know how I got on that. Back to the point at hand. What was the point at hand? Where was I going with that? Fear. Thank you. If I do have a fear, it's this, you guys, that I would stand before God and God would reveal to me, this is what you could have walked in. This is what you could have saw. This was the miracles that were awaiting you on that one particular day that you were distracted. These are the people you could have reached. This is the impact you could have had. But because of fear, but because of distractions, because I didn't feel like I was worthy enough to walk in something that God made me worthy to walk in, that I fell short of that. I'm sure the technology of heaven is greater than this, but if you can imagine a flip chart that God graphs your exploits, but then he does the invisible, flip chart over it, and then there's what you could have walked in and the gap in between. My motto is close the gap. I want to live every single day as if it's my last. Tomorrow's not promised to you. Our life is but a vapor. You guys are young, so it's easy to just think, hey, man, you know, I'll have, you know, 75, 80 years. You know, I'm going to live. You know, I'm going to be so old. They're going to put me on, you know, on Regis and Kelly or whatever. They have people, if you hit 100, they put you on their show and then put Smucker's jelly underneath and put a picture of you going to live. Hey, but you know what? You really don't know. You don't know. Your days are numbered, but you just want to live every single day as if, you know, this could be the day. And I really want to live my life like that. I really want to challenge you to do the same. If I could get someone just to come to the keyboards, I'm going to share a thought, but I feel like God wants to do something. So I don't know if we got someone that could go, oh, awesome, come to the keyboards. Just close your eyes for a second, lift your hands.